will people pay with their lives for the board's culpable stupidity?
The hubbub rose again. Moist saw Lord Vetinari's gaze traverse the room. He didn't duck in time. The patrician's stare passed right through him, carrying away who knew what. An eyebrow rose in interrogation. Moist looked away and sought out guilt. He wasn't there. In the omniscope, Mr. Collarbone's nose now glowed like a beacon. He struggled, dropping pages, losing his place, but pressing on with the dogged, dull determination of a man who could spend all day watching one oyster.
"Nothing less than an attempt to blacken our good names in front of the whole city,"
Stowley was protesting.
"Unaware of the toll that is being taken, what can we say of the men who caused this, who sat in comfort round their table and killed us by numbers? This—"
"I will sue the university! I will sue the university!"
screamed Greenyham. He picked up a chair and hurled it at the omniscope. Halfway to the glass, it turned into a small flock of doves, which panicked and soared up to the roof.
"Oh, please sue the university!" Ridcully bellowed. "We've got a pond full of people who tried to sue the university!"
"Silence," said Vetinari. It wasn't a very loud word, but it had an effect rather like that of a drop of black ink in a glass of clear water. The words spread out in coils and tendrils getting everywhere. It strangled the noise. Of course, there is always someone not paying attention.
"And furthermore,"
Stowley went on, oblivious to the unfolding hush in his own little world of righteous indignation.
"It's plain that—"
"I will have silence," Vetinari stated. Stowley stopped, looked around, and deflated. Silence ruled.
"Very good," said Vetinari quickly.
He nodded at Commander Vimes of the watch, who whispered to another watchman who pushed his way through the crowd and towards the door. Vetinari turned to Ridcully.
"Arch-Chancellor, I would be grateful if you would instruct your student to continue, please," he said in the same calm tone.
"Certainly. Off you go, Professor Collarbone, in your own time."
It says further on, the men obtained control of the trunk via a ruse known as the double lever, in the main using money entrusted to them by clients who did not suspect it.
"Stop reading that!" Greenyham shouted. "This is ridiculous! It is just slander upon slander!"
"I'm certain I spoke, Mr. Greenyham," said Vetinari. Greenyham faltered.
"Good, thank you," said Vetinari. "These are very serious allegations, certainly. Embezzlement? Murder? I'm sure that Professor Collarbone is a trustworthy man."
In the omniscope, Devious Collarbone, Unseen University's newest professor, nodded desperately. "Who is only reading what has been delivered, so it would appear that they have originated from within your own company.
Serious allegations, Mr. Greenyham, made in front of all these people. Are you suggesting I should treat them as some sort of prank?
The city is watching, Mr. Greenyham.
Oh, Stowley appears to be ill."
"This is not the place for—"
Greenyham tried, aware once more of the creaking of ice.
"It is the ideal place," said Vetinari. "It is public. In the circumstances, given the nature of the allegations, I'm sure everyone would require that I get to the bottom of them as soon as possible, if only to prove them totally groundless."
He looked around. There was a chorus of agreement. Even the upper crust loved a show.
"What do you say, Mr. Greenyham?" said Vetinari.
Greenyham said nothing. The cracks were spreading, the ice was breaking up on every side.
"Very well," said Vetinari.
He turned to the figure beside him.
"Commander Vimes, be so kind as to send men to the offices of the Grand Trunk Company, Ankstow Associates, Stow Plains Holdings, Ank Futures, and particularly to the premises of the Ank Morpork Mercantile Credit Bank. Inform the manager, Mr. Cheeseborough, that the bank is closed for audit, and I wish to see him in my office at his earliest convenience. Any person in any of those premises who so much as moves a piece of paper before my clerks arrive will be arrested and held complicit in any or all of such offences as may be uncovered. While this is happening, moreover, no person concerned with the Grand Trunk Company or any of its employees is to leave this room."
"You can't do that!"
Greenyham protested weakly, but the fire had been drained out of him. Mr. Stowley had collapsed on the floor with his head in his